the breastplate covers the heart. So basically, your heart is worried about whether what I'm doing is the right thing or not, the righteousness of God. Yeah? You're thinking about whether something is acceptable or not. Okay? So when Jesus was tempted, the devil told him, you jump off, okay? Or you turn that stone into what? Into bread. Since you're hungry. You get what I mean? Yeah? So therefore, Jesus knew that the most important thing, that at any moment he needs to do the right thing. That was the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So for example, if someone insulted you or stood on your pride or your ego, right? Usually people will respond, what? Evil for evil, isn't it? Right? So you will right, you will understand, even people who don't believe in God, two wrongs don't make a right, isn't it true? Two wrongs don't make a right. So therefore today, we also should be even better. The most important is, in the sight of God, I don't do the wrong thing. I must do the right thing. The third thing is this, right? We need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what does this mean? Does it mean only just to preach the gospel? No. It's not just to preach the gospel. This is telling us part of the armor is to protect our feet, which means that we need to make sure that we are walking on safe ground. Yeah? It means that we are walking towards preparing that we can meet God in peace. Yeah? This is really important. The gospel, it means what? The good news, right? The good news is that God has reconciled us to himself, isn't it true? According to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We already had that verse in the opening ceremony, isn't it? Or one of the brothers and sisters that turned to, right? So the good news is that God has reconciled us to himself. But we ourselves need to make sure that we are doing the thing so in the end we will see God in peace. Yeah? So we won't be afraid to see God, that's it. Right? There's nothing we want to hide. There's nothing we don't want to show God. Yeah, Jeremy? Yeah, we can see God in peace. Now the shield of faith means that it doesn't matter how someone makes you feel, you will do what God needs you to do to put out the fiery arrows. Yeah? Fiery arrows. Okay? I like this because usually if someone upsets you, right, maybe they say something, actually the devil fires a spiritual arrow into your heart to make it 10 times worse than it was. Do you get what I mean? Have you ever had a friend, right, the girl says to you, you know what he said to me, do you know what she said to me? It's a big massive overblowing thing. You know what I mean? Yeah? And actually when you think about it, oh, is that what he says to you? Or is that what she said to you? I think you overreacted a bit, no? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So where does the extra energy come from? It comes from the fiery arrows. Do you get what I mean? So when you overreact to a situation, to what someone reminds you, and you're oversensitive, it's because maybe the fiery arrow is coming from the devil. He exploits your vulnerable point. You are a person that can't be told what to do. You don't like being corrected because you're Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? That's your vulnerable point. So the devil knows your vulnerable point and send the fiery out into your heart and burn up any kind of faith. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So we need to remind ourselves to stick up the shield of faith and protect ourselves. Do you know the Roman shield, right? Roman shield has covering. It's got animal skin as well as the wooden, right? The animal skin is so that when the fiery arrows hit the shield, right? It sticks there, but even though the arrow is still on fire, right? Because there's a skin, yeah? Then the fiery arrows, the fire itself will gradually extinguish. Yeah, it's gradually extinguished. And I'm telling you, it's so true. I've tried it myself, okay? Time and time again, gradually I've managed to suss it out. the most important thing is I please God. So I'm not going to let this person who's unnerving me, disturbing me, push me to do the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? As young people, easily we get tempered, isn't it true? Easily become angry, easily resentful, right? So you need to exercise the shield of faith. I must not sin against him, even though he has sinned against me. Yeah? Okay? Do you see what I mean? I must stay silent. I must stay. If I fight back, right? I fight back, then actually it's going to make things worse. So, shield of faith. You get what I mean? Yeah? If you exercise this in your family, you'll find it that spiritually you get stronger. It's really true, right? So don't let the devil hurt you more than you need to. Mm-hmm. If you stick up the shield of faith and say, no, this is emotional, I have to be very careful not to get carried away, right? If I'm feeling angry, I need to calm myself down. I need to walk away from the situation, right? Inside my heart, I need to calm down, right? Because I've got to think straight, otherwise I'm going to say something which I will regret. I'm just going to add fire to fire, right? Okay? I've got to have a shield of faith. I've got to make sure I'm going to do the right thing, right? So the helmet of salvation is this. You're always thinking about salvation is most important. At the end of the day, if I allow the devil to exploit my lust and my pride, and I follow through, I will die. Okay? So most important, I must not give myself over to gratify the flesh and the pride. Otherwise, I will lose my salvation. Right? Jesus died for me. I must not give in. Sword of the Spirit. Yeah? Sword of the Spirit, you need to know the Word of God and use the Word of God in your daily life. Right? Some people, brothers and sisters, have actually experienced that at the particular moment the Word of God come into their hearts. Do you know, if you listen to a lot of pop music, right, the chances of you having the Word of God remind you is going to be very slim. Why? Because you're making your mind really worldly, and you're just really want to please with the worldly music, worldly stuff. Do you know what I mean? Something that's unspiritual. But if you're listening to the Bible, right, and there are lots of free versions now, right? If you're listening to the Bible, if you're listening to the teaching, sermons online, whatever, and constantly reminding yourself, when the situation arises, when there's a spiritual battle, when there's wiles and schemings of the devil coming to you, you'll be able to see right through it, and you'll be able to cut it right down. You know what I mean? Yeah? One of the sisters, about 20 years ago, she went through a spiritual convocation. She remembered my talking about the sword of the Spirit, okay? And she said to me, after she committed an unforgivable sin, right? After she had committed sin, she said to me to tell everyone else, right? This is what happened. She said, after convo, I don't even know where my sword went. Do you know what I mean? She wasn't serious about the Word of God. She didn't use it. She didn't learn it, okay? But she could remember when I described to her the sword of the Spirit. You need to cut away that pride. You need to cut away and put to death the lust. If you don't, the lust will kill you. She remembered my teaching. Do you get what I mean? And I was only a youth there. I wasn't a preacher then. Afterwards, she said to me, I remember what you said. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So you always need to take things to heart. You need to take the teachings to heart, remind yourself, so that when the temptation comes, you can kill it, and it, otherwise it will kill you. Yeah, you've got to stand up for your own soul, right? So one mentality that you need to have is this, right? Let's look at verse, the other bit I want to highlight to you is verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. So the armor of God is important. Mm-hmm. The armor of God is important, but your heart is just as important. Why? Because you have to have this understanding of having done all to stand. Have you ever done a tug of war? Have you ever done a tug of war, Jeremy? Yeah. Someone pulling and you're pulling as well. It's like that. You have to do everything to stand. If you don't put everything to stand, you just go, oh, there's okay, I'll just be yanked. I mean, that's basically what it's like. God is wanting to see if you have done all, yeah, remember the commandment, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, right? If you love everything, do everything out of love for him, even though it's painful, even though it's a struggle, when you love God with everything that you have, then basically the devil will flee away. Yeah? The greater the temptation, the greater the price you need to pay. You have to resist, right? So, because in my comical mind, how do I describe doing all to stand? Usually I refer to Genesis. Do you remember Genesis? And it talks about after Adam and Eve has sinned against God, and then God chucks them away. Well, chucks them. Drives them out of the Garden of Eden. And then God puts a cherubim and also what? The fiery sword. You know fiery sword? Yeah? The fiery sword. What happened to the fiery sword? The fiery sword, what does the fiery sword do? Let's do it to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, let's look at verse 24. What's this mean? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So he drove at the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So what does the tree of, what does the fiery sword do? What does the fiery sword do? The flaming sword. Yeah? What did it do? Everywhere. You can't get through, isn't it? Right? It's like a massive force field that moves everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So there's no way for you to get in. There's no way for you to get to the tree of life. There's no way. You can't. It encompasses. The way to the tree of life is guarded. So you can't get there. Do you get what I mean? So if you take that illustration, it means it is impenetrable. Wow, that's the first time I've used that word for this particular context. Impenetrable. That is what you've got to do. You've got to do everything so that your soul becomes impenetrable. Yeah? Jeremy? You need to put up a force field. Yeah? Force field. That's what it is, isn't it? A spiritual force field. You need to put up a good, strong buffer of a force field, isn't it? Yeah. Why? Because temptation comes out once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven times. So what are you going to do? Do you get what I mean? Can you stand up to the test? The test, you can stand up to the test before you're tempted. You are becoming more holy than you're supposed to be. You get what I mean? You'd rather be, you know what I mean? There's no such thing as too holy, isn't it true? Is there such thing as too holy? No. You make yourself know this is the boundary. You get what I mean? Right? Impenetrable. Is that okay? Yeah? So please, that is the mentality that you need to have to save yourself. God's will is good, and he has exercised great sacrifice to get you to where you are now. All you've got to do is do the same thing, right? Use everything in your whole self to obey God. That's all it is. And then God's goodwill to you will be completed on you as a person. You will definitely make it to heaven, right? When you give everything to protecting your own soul. Yeah? That is why it is the way we should be. Right? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse 20. Okay, verse 18 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Then Paul gets them to pray for not only the believers, but also for him, so that he may continue to preach the gospel boldly, because he is an ambassador. Remember I mentioned ambassador, apostle, ambassador, right? Messenger, ambassador, right? So that is the way we should be. Do you know our daily prayers? We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another because the spiritual battle is on. Yeah? Do you know after YTTC or convo, right? You have this good feel good factor, right? Actually, you should become aware from now on the spiritual battle will be even more fierce. Isn't it true? Isn't it? Because at the end of the day, when you're all together, you feel strong. Isn't it? And when you are separate, you may forget. That is why you need to pray for one another, just like the teaching in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. That we can all stand strong, right? And do everything to stand. That's what we need to do. I think some of you have been through convo, and one of the theme is stand strong, isn't it true? Or you've been through YTTC, one of the theme was to stand strong, right? And that's quite important for our spirituality. It is not that God does not supply you the strength. It's whether you are committed to save yourself as well. Isn't it true? God already has shown his commitment to you. You yourself need to show your side of the commitment. Okay? Okay, let's look at verse 21 to verse 24. Now, in verse 21, you can see that Paul draws a close after the conclusion about the armor of God. Right? He draws a close. And he mentions a person called Tychicus. Right? He's a brother, faithful minister. And he's the one that helps Paul and helps the church. Now, I would like to raise a verse from you, for you, right? Can everyone look up verse 23? Love with faith. Right? What does these three words mean? Well, love with faith. You can understand it like this, right? Faith means to please God. Yeah? Which means faith is also, as is, we say, God knows. Okay? So today, when you exercise love, yeah? You say to yourself, I need to continue to love more and more and more because I believe this pleases God. It doesn't matter whether that a person appreciates it or not. The most important is that my love is a sacrifice to him. Mm-hmm. So if that person doesn't appreciate it, it doesn't mean my love has been lost or is in vain. Is that clear? Yeah? If you preach to a friend and that person doesn't believe, has your love been wasted? Of course not. Yeah? If you sent a Facebook message reminding a brother and sister to be strong, but they end up sinning against God, has that been wasted? No, it hasn't. Because that heart was a sacrifice to God. You get what I mean? Yeah? So what I'm trying to say is to you, love with faith, knowing that it pleases God and God knows. If you do this, then your love will continue to flourish and continue to abound. You have nothing to be ashamed about because you have done what you knew you could do and you did it. Is that clear? Love with faith. Three words. And that is one of the ways of studying the Bible. It means that taking three words and saying, why didn't it just say love? Why didn't it just say faith? Why did it say love with faith? The more you think about it, the more you want to try to find out what it actually means. And that is the way to study the Bible, to apply into our life, to encourage ourselves. Is that all right? So, have you enjoyed studying Ephesians? It was a bit slow at the beginning because I had to go through the nitty-gritties, repeat myself to get you into the frame of mind. And then I told you there were two parts to Ephesians. I told you the what God's done in His will, and then the practical things that we need to do as forming part of God's will. Okay? Okay. So, now we are going to go into Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. Let's start a new page, a new file, and hopefully that you will be able to learn something about Philippians. Now, Philippians, the theme I've given to Philippians is a joyful mind. A joyful mind. Okay? Now, why do I do this? Well, let's turn to Philippians. Right, and we shall know. We're now doing Philippians, not Ephesians. Philippians. Okay? New start. Okay, now let's go to Philippians. Write down the following verses. Right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. 2, verse 2. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 15, verse 16, 19. Chapter 4, verse 2 and 7. Okay? Those verses is talking about minds. Minds. If you want a healthy spiritual life, your mind is really important. Mm-hmm. If you have a dirty mind, you're not going to heaven. But if you have a clean, pure mind, you'll be going to heaven. But if you want to make the journey easier, you need to strive to have a joyful mind. The reason being is, I always, when I read about Philippians and I read, Paul was saying, joyful, be joyful, rejoice, always rejoice. In my depressed days, I said, right, this is not fair. Paul is really joyful. I'm not joyful. Why is it? Why is that? Why is it that the Christians who don't have the truth, they are so joyful? I have the truth. I am not joyful. I understand. It's to do with the mind. It's not the way you think. It's what your mind is filled with. It's what your mentality is like. How you think affects how you feel. Isn't it true? What you believe affects how you feel. Paul was a person who was convinced in his mind the love that God had for him. His mind was convinced of the gospel. That is why he traveled and went through everywhere, endured lots of suffering, even though he had persecution. But he continued because his mind was very clear. His mind was very clear. Okay? So, let us understand. How about joy? Joy. Joy. Right? In Philippians. Let's write down the following verses. Okay. Chapter 1. This is joy, okay? Joy. Not mine. Joy. Joy. Okay? Joy. Right? Joy. I'm rejoicing. Joy. Right? Chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 18. Verse 25. 26. Chapter 2. Verse 2. Verse 16. 2:18. Chapter. And verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 1, verse 3, chapter 4, 4, verse 1, verse 4, verse 10. Okay? All those is talking about joy or rejoice, the same thing. Okay? So basically, I married those two repeated words together, and I realized that for me, Philippians is telling me, have a joyful mind. Have a joyful mind. Okay? And that is the theme for me in Philippians. Other people will decide to take a different theme, but that's their take. This is my take. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Of course, in chapter 1, verse 1, the funny thing is this, that this letter was written from who? Paul, right? But actually, it was also by who? Timothy. Two people. One is older, one is younger. But both of them are born servants of Jesus Christ. You notice that Paul, he was a senior worker, but he also gave the honor to the younger worker as well, because it wasn't just Paul that was working really hard. Timothy was also a hard-working worker as well. Paul was committed. Timothy was just as committed as Paul was. Now, if we look at verse 1b, why does Paul address the saints first and then the bishops and the deacons last? Anybody? Eva, what do you think? The saints are referring to the believers, the bishops and the deacons. Who do they refer to?
People.
Huh?
The saints.
No. The saints is the saints. The bishops and deacons are different, right? So, who are the bishops and the deacons referring to? Because they are with the saints. So, who are the bishops and the deacons? We would say they are the spiritual leaders, right? Okay? Spiritual leaders are, at the end of the day, the servants of the church. Yeah? The servants of the saints. So I think it is good for Paul to have given that insight. It is not so much that the saints should look down on the bishops and deacons and say, you know what? You're supposed to serve me. No, it's not like that. It's to remind the bishops and the deacons they are supposed to be the servants of all. Just like Jesus. He came to be served. He came not to be served, but to serve, isn't it? That's recorded in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Right? Okay, so now we start at the first verse. Let's go to the second verse. The second verse is actually quite similar to Ephesians, isn't it? Because Paul says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at verse 3. Now, basically, when you read through Philippians, Paul is really happy with the Philippians. He loves this church. Why? Because this church is very simple. Okay? This church really loves Paul. Okay? This church shared many things with Paul. Even when he was lacking, they would send things through people to get to Paul in order to help Paul with his life so that he can continue to do God's work. Isn't that beautiful? Really nice partnership. Okay? One might say that Philippi was Paul's hometown church, as it were. You know? It's his second home, as it were. Right? Anyway, let's look at verse 1 to verse 11. Okay? Now, 1 to verse 11, Paul is actually outlining all the things that he gives thanks to God for them. Right? Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. So does Paul remember people in this prayer? Yes, he does. Yeah? Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Is Paul exaggerating, by the way? No, Paul is not exaggerating. He's stating the fact because he's so happy with them that he has to remember that every single prayer. Okay? It's not the fact that he is partial. Right? It's not that he's partial. No. It's just the fact that he can see God working in them. They are so submissive to God. It's very precious, isn't it? Do you get what I mean? If someone is really devoted to God, right? You pray for them very much, isn't it? Yeah, you can't help it. Yeah. So we can see here that Paul himself remembered the Philippians in his prayer. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So what does this mean? It means that once the Philippian believers had believed in Jesus, right, they had fellowship in the gospel, which means that they had part in the gospel. It means that because Paul believed in the gospel and the Philippians also believed in the gospel, yeah, they everything did for the sake of the gospel. Yeah? So that means that they were together, one mind, one heart, because of what they believed in. Now the thing is this, Paul doesn't say it was because of my inspiration to you, that is why you are so good. No, Paul didn't say that, because Paul understood it wasn't him, it was God. Let's look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, for example, when they received the gospel, was it a work of God? When they believed in Jesus, was this a work of God? It was, isn't it? Yeah? It's like according to John, the gospel according to John, yeah? And this is the work of God, when you believe in the Son of God, isn't it? Okay, let's find that verse. Let's find that verse. Let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. Verse 29. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Isn't it? Yeah? So the work of God had begun to start in the Philippians. When they started to believe, Paul saw that this is the work of God. Isn't it true? Okay? Let's turn to another verse in 1 Corinthians to tell us that when a person starts to believe, actually it is the work of God. Yeah? What does Paul say? It's not he who sows or he who waters, it is actually God who what? God who makes the increase, isn't it? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Right? So in these two verses, it tells us really clearly how we should approach the gospel. How should we approach preaching the gospel? Preaching the gospel, you exercise human effort. Isn't it true? Yeah? I thank God because UK churches, increasingly so, we are exercising more effort to preach the gospel. Yeah? We're doing many activities to make more people know, right? Activities. Right? But the thing is this, you need to realize that preceding the actual preaching of the gospel, you need to pray a lot, isn't it true? Yeah? Some churches fast and pray. Yeah? Why? Because to save a soul is not easy. So we really need to ask God to be with us, empower us, and guide people to come to us, and we to have courage to go to people. If you fast and pray, yeah, then you can expect that God will act. If you don't pray and you just do the thing as in routine, you can expect that God will not be with you because you're just doing your own thing. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Everything that we do, it needs to be done with faith. With faith means not only to please God, but to rely on Him. You rely on God, right? So let's just look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1 onwards, right? Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse 1 to 3. So, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. We can see here there's a group of workers gathered at Antioch, right? And when they were gathered together, they received the instruction they should what? That these group of people should minister. Okay? Barnabas and Saul, yeah, are to do the work. Okay? So before, they fasted. And then in verse 3, verse 2, they fasted. Verse 3, they fasted. Okay? And so basically, when they fasted, they relied on the Holy Spirit to send out these workers in order to do the work, right? Now, if you look at verse 4 onwards, when they sent out, was the work very smooth? No. If you look at verse 6, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. So when they were preaching to Sergius Paulus, verse 7, yeah, verse 8, this sorcerer sought to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So that is why it's so important to pray, right? To pray before preaching, because it's a spiritual battle. It's not your battle, it's God's battle. And it's a spiritual battle, so you need to keep firm confidence that God is with you. You need to beg God to be with you. That is what the Old Testament example tells us. Before they went into a physical battle, they prayed to God, isn't it? Now, how much more when we go into a spiritual battle? When we preach, we need to ask God to be with us. Because at the end of the day, when God works, things are, you know, it is truly, very clearly, it's God's work. So when Paul, he preached the gospel to Philippi, he saw clearly that when people start to believe, it is God's work, it's not man's work. Yeah? Paul preached, but it was God who converted people. Yeah? Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 1. Of course, chapter 1, verse 6, he hopes that, no, he actually has this confidence that when God begins to work in the Philippians, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is really important, which means what? When you start to do God's work, when you start to believe, that belief must continue until the end. When God has given you a gift to do in your youth, continue to minister according to that gift. It is just like the one talent, isn't it true? Yeah? Or the two talents, or the five talents. What God gave to you, you shall do until the day you die. You get what I mean? Do you know what, in the church, you may see some people doing the same old thing, isn't it true? But guess what? You shouldn't look down on them. Why? Because they are doing, making use of themselves according to their own ability. They do it over and over and over again, year in, year out, because they're doing it for the Lord. You don't notice that they are complaining. They're doing it humbly and doing it for God. And that's what we should do. Isn't it true? Let's look at verse 7. I believe as a youth in the church, we need to learn from the older generation. In Chinese, there's an expression, loi lik, hama. To ye you yao loi lik, with endurance, nai li. Yao nai li. Nai li is what? Yeah, what's nai li? Give me an example of nai li.
Marathon.
Sorry? marathon.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Like a marathon. You keep running. Keep going. Yeah? Even though you are tired. Yeah? You must reach the end. Yeah? Keep going. That's a good test of a worker, as a youth worker. Keep going. Yeah? Get over the hurdle, you know? Anyway, I won't talk about that now. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, the thing is that Paul is a very emotional person. He always tells people how he feels. Now, if you look at verse 7, he actually keeps the members into his heart, isn't it? Let's look at verse 7. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. So what is Paul saying? Paul is basically saying, even though I am in my chains in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, right? I actually have you in my heart. Why? Because you are partakers with me of grace. So here we can see that Paul doesn't feel sorry for himself when he's going through tough times, because he has brothers and sisters in the church far away who is not only thinking about him, but he's thinking about them. Yeah? I think this is quite good, isn't it? Do you know, if you want to preserve a joyful mind after you receive a spiritual high during the YTTC or convo, this is the way you should think. You should think that there are other people in the church, in the youth group, in our year, that they are strong. Yeah? They are also struggling, but they are keeping strong. Yeah? So if you are thinking about other people, then you will not let yourself down. Don't let yourself down. Don't let everyone else down. Keep strong. Isn't it true? Because when you think about what you have together, and the fact you're all in the same boat, that when you are seemingly to limit in your own situation, you can actually keep strong, not only because God is with you, there are other people in the same boat. Get what I mean? Yeah? And when there are other people in the same boat, you can be encouraged that these people are strong, I also need to do my part too. Right? Don't easily give up when you're faced and going back to your own world. Otherwise it affects and rocks the boat, isn't it? Yeah? So we can see that Paul himself, right? He actually puts people in his heart, but he remembers that these people are partakers with him of grace. We are very blessed together. We are brothers and sisters, not just because we have gone through NSSC and have gone through YTTC 2 years and we are together for 6 years. That is why we're precious. No, because we have the grace of God. The blood of Jesus has been shed for you and me. And that is why we need to cherish one another, just like Paul did with the Philippians. Yeah? Okay, let's go to verse 8. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For God is my witness, how I greatly long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, why does Paul say that? Why does Paul say that? For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. It could be that Paul had not visited the Philippians for a very long time. Now, let's turn to the book of Acts to find out when was the first time that Paul encountered the Philippians. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 12. Acts chapter 16, verse 12. Philippians, Acts chapter 16, verse 12 to verse 15. Of course, this is the time when Paul went to the Macedonia, yeah? And Philippi was one of the cities, the foremost city, actually, it says, and that he found some women and praying Sabbath day, and then he found speaking, and one of the women actually responded to Paul's preaching. Verse 14. What's the name of the woman? Called what?
Lydia.
And what does she do for a living? Seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, worship God. Okay? God actually opened her heart to hear the things. So she was very hospitable after she believed, isn't it? Okay? So actually, it's been a while since Paul met the Philippians. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. Let's look at verse 6. Acts chapter 20. Let's look at verse 6. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued this message until midnight. Okay? So basically we can see here that Paul actually had two opportunities at least to be with the Philippians. So it might have been a while since Paul met them again. So if we turn to Romans chapter 1, he wanted to basically steady the heart of the Philippians just in case the Philippians thought Paul was ignoring them or Paul didn't want to be with them, right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, let's look at verse 10 and verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Verse 13. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now. Right? Okay. So here you can see that Paul actually really wanted to see the believers. And from the cross-reference with Romans, it was the same with the Philippians. I mean, at the end of the day, if you love someone, why don't you want to see them? Right? Now, Paul loved the believers, right? And really wanted to see them. But for whatever reason, something prevented him from doing so. So, as a good father to his children, Paul actually expresses his heartfelt desire to be with them. Okay? For whatever reason, he couldn't go there. Okay? Okay, so I think we shall end there with verse 8, okay? Before we enter into the prayer of Paul. So we can find it that Paul was a person who was serious in preaching the gospel. Okay? When he preached the gospel, he was really happy, had a really joyful mind because he could perceive God was working in these people. They have turned from idols and come to the living God. And so that is why, because people are newly baptized, he will remember them. And because he remembers their sincerity towards God because of the gospel, he remembers them in prayer. Okay? So that is why today in our fellowship, right, we need to remember each other in our prayers. Right? You may not be able to pray for all the 2,000 odd or 3,000 souls in UK because you don't know everyone, okay? But at least remember your own RE class, isn't it? At least remember your own church members, right? At least remember your own YPTC. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? I think it's the least that we can do. And then we can preserve our joyful mind, isn't it? That is good to be in fellowship in Christ together. And that if we are actually praying for one another, we can think like this. Ooh, God is actually in me, reminding me, working in me to pray for others. Because at the end of the day, if I'm doing this, praying for others, it's a good work. Then I know God is working in me. Amen? Let's pray.